You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is the advancement of the kingdom.
And let them have dominion.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
You see, you people connived and conspired against the Holy One and killed him. But God did not allow his soul to rest, to remain in there. Because now they have seen that he is risen from the dead. They've included that part, that the guy actually, they killed him all, but God did a wonder. But why did he die? What is the significance of the fact that he died? They didn't know. It was let out. You know how Stephen was preaching and Peter in his second delivery, he was comparing the death of Christ to the death of the prophets. He says, the same way you, Stephen, naked, you killed all the prophets, you persecuted all the righteous ones, you have also killed this one, a good man, a man approved by God among you with mighty signs and wonders. Why did you kill him? The people got afraid. They said, this man will bring the blood of this man on our head, though. Let's call them and warn them to stop preaching in this. Paul is now telling us here that the gospel which you believe, that Christ's death was a sacrificial death. It is the replacement of those lambs that they take to the altar in the Old Testament. John the Baptist knew about that. Where he pointed, he said, behold the Lamb of God. That what? He wasn't killed. It was a sacrifice that was offered. For what? For the remission of our sins. Jesus was not a martyr. He's not like Martin Luther King Jr. He's not like the leader of the Ogoni people. What's his name again? Sarah Wewa. He's not a human rights activist. These Jewish people go to the tabernacle, sacrificing lamb everywhere. And they were told under the covenant, this thing covers your sin. It's an atonement for sin. They are told not to eat blood. They know about the sin because life is in the blood. That the blood is given on the altar as an atonement for sin. They knew about all that. Finally, the time came. God, in answer to what he promised Abraham, that he was going to release his own child, in fulfillment of the prophecy he gave to Adam, that the seed of woman is what will reverse this thing that came as a result of the fall. He gave his son, and they took him and offered him on the altar of Calvary. And the blood was released. And that's what God accepted as a preparation for our sins. Let's read a little more down there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered first of all, verse 3, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen by Cephas of the 12, and all of this. Everything that happened to him there had significance. The stripes they laid on his back had significance. The nails that went through his hand had significance. The fact that finally they buried him, he actually went down to hell. It has significance. He spent time in hell about 3 days, taking all the punishment that we should have taken because we are the one that deserved to go there. All those things had significance. And finally, how he went and brought out those departed souls that were under the grave, that were burning in the departed world, and brought them out with him. All those things have significance. But the greatest of all is not even all that happened till this point of resurrection. The resurrection, the significance of the resurrection is what happened when Jesus took that blood that was shed to the heavenly holiest of holies, like a high priest, to go and offer it on the throne room, on the altar of God, to obtain eternal redemption. You see, in the tabernacle of Moses, the altar where they slay the animal is different from the altar where you get atonement. You slay the animal at the outer court, at the brazen altar. The priest now takes the blood and enters beyond the veil to the mercy seat. That's where he will have to get to and sprinkle that blood, and the anger of God will go down like this. It's like deflating a balloon. He just
put a nail through that balloon and the whole thing deflects. The anger of God and all the punishment that have been hanging that will come upon this man that did all this evil. All the guy has to do is just get a lamb, get one goat, get some of this and take it to the high priest. They slay it on that outer altar and the priest takes the blood and goes in within the veil. The moment he reaches the mercy seat and applies that blood, God accepts the death of the animal as enough punishment, in essence, as the substitution for the sinner who committed the sin. The guilty man cannot go free. The animal has died in his place. According to the scripture, it provides atonement. The sins are covered. Punishment is lifted. Anger of God calms down for at least a season, at least a whole year. The nation of Israel obtains the atonement. So next year, they have to come again. And for individuals, whenever they misbehave, they carry a goat and go there. So animals keep dying. They keep killing, sacrifice every day. And God was looking forward. He said, sacrifice and offering, I'm tired of it. These guys are just committing all sorts of sins and they're just bringing blood every day to this place. I'm tired of this whole thing. He now said, a body, you have prepared me. We are going to offer the final sacrifice. Let's get a virgin to prepare a body. He now said, lo, I come, as it is written of me in the volume of the books, to do thy will, O God. Whenever I get to this side, I can see you coming awake, connecting. Because that's the easier part. You've heard a lot about it. It's easy to handle. I know there are still people struggling in this area who still don't know who they are in Christ, who still don't know what Jesus has done for them. But we have a number in the body of Christ who have come of age in the understanding of these truths. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There is a good scripture there on the gospel of grace. Very powerful scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read from verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. This is our understanding, that if one died for all, then all are dead. He took our place so that we are counted as if we are the ones that died. That's why we can escape judgment. That's why we can escape hell. If one died for all, then those people are counted as dead. Verse 15, he died for all that they which live should no longer live for themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again from the dead. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we had known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, read together, one, two, go. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us what? The word of reconciliation. That's the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of grace. Let's list some differences between the two messages so you can get a clearer understanding. Number one. Everywhere the gospel of grace is mentioned, like here now, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. There's always something you notice, and I think I need to show a scripture for that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gospel of grace, one of the first distinguishing factors between that and the gospel of the kingdom is that in the gospel of grace, you have nothing to contribute except to believe, except to accept the offer that God has made. It's purely on the basis of grace. It's free. And I want to ask a question here tonight. How many people here have believed with all their heart that Jesus Christ came, died for them on the cross, rose again from the dead? You have no doubt in your mind
You believe it. Let me see your hand. How many of you have now accepted the offer of forgiveness, of eternal life that he gave? How many of you have invited him into your life and told him, come in and be my Lord and Savior? You have done that. Let me see your hand. How many of you have used this, your mouth, to confess Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? It's not just that you believed it in your heart. You have confessed it. You know, you have declared it with your mouth, and you are committed to it, that Jesus Christ is my Lord, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Let me see your hand. According to the Bible, that is all that you need to be saved. If you've said sorry, repented of your sin, believed in the finished work of Christ. What do we mean by that? That it was your place that he took on the cross. That you are the one that was supposed to have suffered that punishment. That you are the one that was supposed to have gone to hell. If you believe that, that he was in your place that he died. If you are fully convinced of that. If you have confessed it with your mouth and actually invited him into your life and declared him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you have received the offer of eternal life that he made. The Bible declares that you are saved. How many of you have done that? Sometimes you have people that have not given their life to Christ. They know that Jesus is real. They've heard some things about him. They believe that he came. But that aspect of committing their life to him is what they've not done. If you have not done that, you can do it today. And you escape the damnation and the judgment that should have come upon you because of all the sins that you committed and all the ones that was committed before you, because even the sins of Adam, the sins of your parents and all of that, there are judgments coming on you because of that, plus your own personal sin. But with one debt and one price that he paid on the cross, Jesus wiped damnation and the judgment from your head. Can I hear you say amen? That's the gospel of grace. You should keep preaching that message, because that's the message that saves. Works cannot save people. Sacrificing lambs cannot save people. Going to church 200 times a day cannot save people. Singing all the songs in the hymn book cannot save people. Baptism does not save people. Confirmation does not save people. Religion does not save people. If those things can bring salvation, then some of these religions too can as well lead people to salvation. This different religious group. No religion saves, including Christian religion. There is Christian religion and Christian reality. But come over to the gospel of the kingdom is the opposite. Instead of saying gospel of grace, they say, come and receive what Christ has done for you. The gospel of the kingdom doesn't offer such invitation. Come and receive a free gift. The gospel of the kingdom says, come and die with Christ. Come and lay your own life down so that others will receive. Let me say it this way. I think there is a way you can understand it. At grace, a man walks into a supermarket, pays for certain things, buys, pays for it with all the money he worked hard for, and then turns to his children and said, there are free gifts. Take it, it's yours. Your dad has paid for it. And the children take it and enjoy for it. Few years after, those kids are grown up. It's their turn to now pay for other people to enjoy. They have their own kids. They take their own kids to supermarket. And they start paying for things after working hard for the money. And their own children are enjoying. Now, I want to notice what is going on. What is going on is that they started by receiving free gift. But now the man is also paying the price for other people to receive free gifts. You will notice that all the apostles that followed Christ sealed their testimony with their lives. John chapter 3 verse 16. Let's look at it. Tell your friend you must get this thing. Tell him you have been receiving free gifts all these years. It's your turn to pay your own price, so that somebody else can enjoy. The key here is that there is a part you have to play for the salvation of the world. So you come to Christ
first for your own salvation, then you come to him for other people's salvation. If your relationship with Christ is just you now, after you have received salvation and you've been established in the faith all these years, you are living in error. It's because you have not been taught the truth completely. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, this is the gospel of salvation, that he gave his only begotten. So if you check verse 14, he said, as Moses lifted up serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the few times Jesus preached redemption. And he goes on, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believed not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why people go to hell. Failure to receive Christ is why people go to hell. Say it with me. That's why it's our responsibility to take this message to everyone, everywhere, because without this message, there is no other way of salvation. Can I hear you say amen? Which message saves men from sin, from hell, from damnation? Which message? Huh? The gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation, the message of reconciliation. You will soon see the other side. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Just before the book of Revelation, you know, I like using these two because it's easy to remember. John 3, 16, 1 John 3, 16. You know, you can compare the two. Written by the same guy, but talking about two different aspects of the gospel. Okay, 1 John 3, verse 16. Can we read together, one, two, go? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for... Have you seen that? Whenever you cross over to the kingdom, it's no more come and receive what Jesus did for you. It's now come and do something for Christ. There is something one of the U.S. presidents used to say. He said, don't ask what your nation will do for you. Now ask what you can do for your nation. The gospel of the kingdom don't say, come and ask something from God. Seek what he has done for you. The gospel of the kingdom said, seek what you can do for the kingdom. Why is works coming in now, laying down your life? And in case you don't understand what it means for the gospel to enter a particular village, and it might require finances to the point of closing your account, close it. For an aspect of the kingdom to move ahead, and it requires financial debt on your part, is the type that when you finish, you are financially dead. Do it, because you will have a resurrection. Can't you see what you are preaching? Service is not the gospel of grace, so... It's part of the gospel of the kingdom. It's just that in the church, we have one or two bits and pieces of it that we pick here and there without understanding what we're even doing. Maybe we want to do it so that people will be committed in church. All the wonderful things, under the gospel of grace, don't you know that protection is free? How do you overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. How did they overcome him in Egypt? They applied the blood on their door lintels. And then the devil, as he was passing that night, the angel of death, and as Passover was taking place, wherever I see the blood, what will happen? I'll pass on. Now, you are now telling people about protection and you are saying service. You are contradicting the Bible. Everything you gain in the kingdom is on the basis of reward for something you did. Everything you gain to get saved is free gift. You don't have to do anything for it. That's why many people are in trouble. Because they are already saved. We know that if you die now, you're going to heaven.
We know that if Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds, that you will be among those who will make it. Thank God, because you are living your Christian life. As long as you are not found in sin. And even if you've made a mistake and committed something, you repent of it. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, making sure that your life is saved, that you are already saved. But how come some of the wonderful promises they've made to you, there are some of the extra promises they made to you, you are not seeing it? Because those ones are rewards. Dominion is not a free gift. Dominion is something that God gives in reward for your services, your contributions to the expansion of the kingdom on earth. You know what I mean by dominion? I mean the fact that not only you're going to rule in life here, you're going to rule with Christ when he returns. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. I want us to read it one more time. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That first part is John 3:16. He laid down his life for us is the gospel of grace. That's the first part. That's how we got to understand that God loved us. That's what saved us. Here is the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin. Oh, I want to go. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Then read verse 17. Whosoever had these words good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Feeding the poor is the gospel of the kingdom. Now you can understand Matthew chapter 25. I was hungry, you did not give me food. I was thirsty, you gave me no water. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And he said, this is the Son of Man when he returns. He divides the people into two groups, goat and sheep. He turns to the sheep, he said, I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was hungry, you gave me. They said, Lord, when did we do it to you? You are the one that did everything for us and we are saved, thank you. When did we see you? He said, when you did it to one of the least of these my brethren. In answer, come into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You are the ones that will rule with me here. Then he turns to the other group. He said, there are goats. I was hungry. You didn't give me food. I was thirsty. You didn't give me water. I was in prison. You didn't visit me. And they said, Lord, how can we see you in such a need and not help you? Lord, there's no way that if I ever see you, tell me when. He said, good. When Brother James was sick, he was in the hospital. He didn't care. He didn't have hospital bills. The hospital kept in, and yet you were multimillionaire. You heard about it. He told them all. There was a time Sister Mary was thrown out of her house because she gave her life to Christ. She was sleeping in the streets. No clothes. Of course, they seized all her clothes and sent her into the street. It was only that cloth that she was wearing. You heard about it. As at that time, you were what? 18 million. I blessed you with the money. You heard about it. It didn't bother you. Guess what he would tell these people? He said, depart into everlasting flames, Matthew 25, prepared for the devil and his angels from the foundation of the world. And the Bible is concluding, he said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you a secret here. Under the redemptive program, when the blood of animals used to take care of sin by the means of atonement, it couldn't remove sin, but at least it could cover it and stop them from facing judgment. Somebody that was a member of the covenant family, a child of Abraham, a descendant of Isaac and Jacob, went to hell. Jesus told the story about that man. He calls it the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That guy should not go to hell. He was Abraham's seed. He had a covenant. He had access to the commonwealth of Israel. They shouldn't go to hell. Those guys had blood of atonement. What sent him to hell? There was a poor man with wounds and sores that would sit at his gate seeking for food. The rich man will not budge. He was sure where they were. Bible said, the dogs will come and be licking the sores on the body of Lazarus. And because he won't give him anything, the guy will hang around till the man has finished eating. The things they threw away for dogs that are on the ground, he will come and find a way and grab some pieces of bread, those rice that fell on the ground, and eat them. He dies and wakes up in hell. And he's surprised. I cannot be here. I'm Abraham's seed. And it is Abraham's covenant that made me wealthy. I tapped into that covenant. That covenant blessed me with prosperity. What am I doing in hell? Then he looked up and saw Father Abraham. He recognized him. He called him Father Abraham. Abraham too called him son. But Father, you are in heaven. You are rich. It was part of your blessing that I enjoyed on earth. But see you over there in Abraham's bosom, in paradise. See me here in hell. I can't even afford a drop of water, talk less of a cup. I'm famished in these flames. I'm tormented. Please, Father Abraham, help me. Bring me out of this place. Father Abraham said, it's too late. Once you enter this place, you can't come out. Talk less of coming over here. There is no transfer of people here to there. Neither do you have transfer of people here over there. Then the guy looked. He said, no. Who am I seeing? Father Abraham, there is somebody I see beside you there. I recognize him. No, this cannot be. He doesn't look poor anymore. He is not sick. He doesn't have sores. He is in white robes. He eats whatever he wants to eat. He is now wealthy. He is now blessed and loaded. Hey, is that not Lazarus? Hey, Lazarus. Anyway, I'm not going to ask you anything because I know you remember everything I did for you. You won't give me anything. Let me talk to the one I know is my daddy. Papa Abraham, please, please, just do this for me. Tell Lazarus, you see him eating chicken and fowl and everything. Since I came here the last 3 years, I've not even tasted water, talk less of... And I'm roasting here, please. I'm not asking for a full cup. The same way he ate crumbs in my hand, let him give me crumbs, just a drop. Let him put water on the tip of his finger. Let him drop it there. It will get to my tongue. I will catch it. Abraham's seed went to hell. And Abraham replied and said, when you were on earth, you enjoyed. Now it's your turn to suffer. Lazarus suffered. Now is his turn to enjoy. Is it not fair? What sent him to hell? Exactly what Matthew 25 was talking about. Many of you, I warn you, the only thing that can send an unbeliever to hell is not receiving Christ. But there are things that can send believers to hell. It's mentioned in the scripture. And it's just wanting to. It's wanting. For the unbeliever, is rejecting the offer of redemption. For the believer, it is wanting. The Bible calls it not walking in love. And in the Bible, it describes it from two perspectives. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaching the gospel of the kingdom, because love is the principal value and principle of this kingdom. Jesus said you are to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. The first requirement in this kingdom is walking in love. Watch this. And it's the most important message of the Bible. He said, if you hate your brother without a cause. So he described, the first description of love is malice, unforgiveness, bitterness, not walking in love. Walking in love has two sides. Get it clear. One is giving, the other is forgiving. Everyone say giving. Say giving means extending grace. Say giving means extending favor. Giving means extending grace. Say the other one is forgiving. Forgiving means showing mercy. Say it. These are the two things that can send you to hell. When it comes to the forgiving side, Jesus said, you don't forgive your brother, all your sins will be piling up against you. He told a parable in Matthew chapter 18, proving that when you have been forgiven and set free from judgment,
and you fail to forgive, the past sins you committed will be called back and you'll be punished for it. A man that was forgiven of certain things that he did and was released, and he saw a fellow servant that owed him something and held him and tortured him. The king heard it. He canceled the forgiveness he had already given him and sent him to prison, sentenced him to torture. So in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, teaching the gospel of the kingdom, gave some instructions. He said, you say to your brother, you fool. You say, Raka, you a vain fellow, you a useless person. You hate your brother. He said, you'll be in danger of hell. You'll be in danger of judgment. John decided to talk about the same thing. He said, we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. But anyone that hates his brother is still in death. He is still in darkness. Let him not think he's going to heaven. The other side is not the forgiving side. The other side is the giving side. That's what Matthew 25 is talking about. When you meet your fellow brother, your fellow sister, and in a terrible need, and you have the resources, you shut off the bowl of compassion. Don't you know that it was grace that was extended to you that brought you salvation? God expects you to extend grace, unmerited favor, to people so you can help them out of their situations. That's part of laying down your life for brethren. It was the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom that created motherless babies' homes. Why? That gospel talks about doing something practical about the plights of humanity. It was the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom that gave us education. It was the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom that created hospitals. Christians founded all these agencies. You know, I did a research on all the major institutions in the U.S. about, they have over 5,000 universities. The most popular ones you hear was founded by a church. Somewhere along the line, as the social impact of the gospel kept expanding, the government got converted and started thinking like the church. The church will start it, teaching government that you have social responsibility to citizens by taking care of the needy, the widow. After a while, government will change their policy, make a legislation, adopt some of those foundations that the church started, and actually make them government institutions. Red Cross now is an international organization. One of the most amazing ones is Foundation Army, founded by William Wilberforce. It was a movement, a Christian movement. Today, it's an international organization. You hear about Salvation Army in the course of global events. Like there's earthquake, there's tsunami, Salvation Army is there. And the government of their nation send fund to help relieve those who are suffering through these agencies. They don't just look at them as church. They are looking at them as agencies of administering kingdom benefits. Most of the hospitals were started by church. Sent this hospital, sent that hospital, even the ones that didn't have sent attached to it. After a while, government were adopted. Actually, over 90% of the schools in this country founded by churches. Somewhere along the line, government adopted them. You see, it is the job of the church to teach society how to live. The kingdom is about who we outdo the other in service. The kingdom is about who we outdo the other in sacrifice. We are told that greatness in the kingdom is not by receiving free gift, it's by greatness in service. It's by greatness in sacrifice. Look at the one we worship as King of Kings. How did he get there? He was the one that laid down his life for everybody. He said, anyone that will rise to my height, sit on throne, ruling, must follow the example that I left. From the time I understood the kingdom, it is not possible for me to lick sweet and drop it on the road. I can't do it. It's not possible for me to drink water and drop it anywhere. I would rather put it in my bag and carry it to my house. Because you are part of those destroying the earth. Yet the prayer of the Lord is, thy kingdom, what? Come. That it will be done on earth as it is what? Done in heaven. You want to go to heaven with this way you are thinking. So you can go and dirty the place that is clean. Meanwhile, the little place God gave you, you can't keep it clean.
Are you seeing the message? The message of the kingdom comes with responsibility. It's a message of social reformation. It's a message of personal responsibility. It's a message of values. The message of the kingdom will tell you, wake up from bed, dress your bed. That message teaches hard work. Looking for who will give you a free gift. Oh, Lord, I'm waiting. So you can speak to somebody to bring food on my door and just drop it there. Kingdom people don't wait for free food. They go and earn a living. They make contribution to life. They make contribution to... We are getting into the... I'm just laying all this foundation so you can get ready. Because we're going to get into the reality of it. Because the reality of it is about the life we're living here now. And about the life we'll live after. It's the one we live here that will determine the quality of life we'll live after. It is this message that reformed Europe. The problem is that we are copying America. We need to know the message that made America great. The message that we are picking now is one that came from 1900. The nation of U.S. started in the 15th century. It's 16 something. The independence is 16 what? 76. Now you can see how many years they have gone. Close to 250 years. 16 something to 20th century. That will be about how many years? About 200 something years. Is that message that made America great? What message is called the message of reformation? That's the message that was preached in Europe. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's a complete gospel. And all of a sudden, they started rebuilding their society. People learned that God wants the earth to look like heaven. And that the way he would do it is through men in whose hearts the government of God has come. That God wants social justice on earth. That God wants a legal system that is just and fair. That God wants the citizens to be taken care of. That God doesn't want leaders to be oppressors, but he wants leaders to be servants of society. The idea of civil service. Civil servants. Of which the number one person is the governor in a state or the president in a nation. The number one civil servant came because of the teaching of servant leadership. You can see that all this free, come and receive, free thing, it will not change Nigeria. A nation does not change because everybody in it is born again. You can have a nation where everybody is born again and is still the worst nation on earth. Most of the people committing the corruption in this nation are born again, tongue-talking people. They are stealing. Of course, a pastor, he was talking about a pastor he went to pray for in hospital. He went for armed robbery. He's a pastor in Benin. He went for armed robbery. I didn't mean with torch. I mean with AK-47. He had a gang. He leads the gang. And he's a pastor of a church. Pentecostal church. Not Aradula. If you see where this thing will lead us, if we don't recover the truth, if you see where it has even led us as at now. One particular pastor was telling me where he built his church. Pentecostal, tongue-talking, born again. He said he got 200 and something olive oil. He collected from somewhere, buried around the church compound so that crowd will be coming. Have you seen what people are interested in? Crowd. He said, and after burying it, they started coming on. And money was coming. Until a few years after, when Bulala from heaven started landing on his back. He said, before going to service, he will fill his bath in the bathroom with olive oil, fill it. He will stay inside like fish in the water. And be reading Psalms. Didn't you see all the things we imported everywhere? Mantle. Tie it to your waist before you jump inside Moluel. Let the car tumble. From extreme grace, we went completely into idolatry. He said he kept doing that until after a while he learned that three native doctors are coming to his church. And one day after service, one of them walked to him and said, I'm a babalawo. You know why I started coming to your church? Because some of the people I dealt with, they godly live here. So I knew that there is some power you're operating in. So I came for you to teach me this thing. The guy asked him, are you born again? He said, what do you mean by being born again? He said, is this thing that you are using that I want to learn? He said, that day, he knelt down and he said, God, is this how far I have driven? I know I gave my life to Christ somewhere. Where am I now? I don't know. He now closed the church, went to somebody. I said, please, lead me to Christ again. After being in ministry for over 10 years old, that's the few that repented. There are many of them now.
Why that degeneration? The kingdom is missing. So the message that instills responsibility is not there. The message that instills moral change is not there. The message that warns you about the dangers and the consequences of your action is no more there. Come, Brother Olumide, come. There's something you told me. Just come. I want him to, for you to hear it for him. He's a businessman. God has blessed him. But you told me something that you told the Lord, I have given you 100% control of my life. And that you own everything about me, including my finances, everything. And the Lord asked you a question. What was the question he asked you?
He asked me, do I own your business?
Did you hear that? Jesus asked him, do I own your business? Because in the gospel of grace, all you have to do, give your heart, keep your money. In the gospel of the kingdom, you submit to the government of God. And everything you own, everything is on the altar. Then what happened?
Well, from my understanding of ownership of businesses, is the person that has majority shareholding that owns a business. So I said, well, Lord, you own my business. Because I've made a vow to the Lord when I was a young Christian that there's nothing I want him to give me that if he asks for it more than once, that I cannot give him. That anything he will ask of me twice and I can't give it, he shouldn't give me. So when I said, well, you own my business and you know it, Lord. Because before that time, what led to it, sir, was that I was struggling with closing up the business and giving everything to the Lord and starting all over again because of, you know, the things the Spirit of the Lord were bringing to us through these teachings on the gospel of the kingdom. So that day, it was in church. There was nothing dramatic about it. I just stood beside the wall and said, Lord, from today, 51% of my business profit goes to the Lord. And I'm going to do something as soon as I can, make it legal, write it in documents. 51%, as long as I live, as long as I do business.
This is the kind of thing you are seeing in Europe in those days. What produces that? He has been a Christian for years, even when he came in here, he didn't do it immediately. Why is it that when he had the kingdom, when I was, the day I was preaching the kingdom, did I tell you to do that?
No, sir.
Why? Why do you think the missionaries, some of them came here to a dark continent to take the gospel? Some were massacred on mosquitoes. Some were eaten by barbarians. Some were other. Why do you think they were willing to sacrifice? They know that their state, when Jesus is revealed, is determined by the sacrifices they make for him now. If this is what we've been preaching in our churches, all the governors that left our churches to government houses wouldn't have looted the state. They would have taken their personal money and added just to turn around the state. Do you know the amount of Christian governors that are in this nation? He said, when the righteous is in authority, the city will rejoice. What is the problem? The message they have received. Salvation said, you don't need to die. Jesus had died for you. Kingdom said, it is your turn to die. Self must die, you must crucify self, you must deny self, you must be willing to lay down all in order to push his purposes forward. Abroad now, when they die, they write away. That's man that owns a mighty corporation that makes billions of dollars. He writes a will. All the proceeds from this organization, 70% goes to preserving ocean life, especially dolphins. Now the guy dies, goes to hell. But billions of dollars, he has written it, is going to some agencies or foundation. Even when they don't understand maybe Christianity the way, they will still write it, even if it's to pornography or to something. It is in their culture that all the money you make is not yours, that you owe something to society. The least you can give back is 10%. Bill Gates, I have all kinds of documents. Bill Gates is the world's greatest giver. And he's not a professing Christian. The last project now he's carrying in the area of health is to find vaccine for malaria. You take it once, you can't suffer malaria again. And they're almost succeeding because they've gotten something. They are still testing it right now. He he's penned down that things like HIV and all this must find cure. That the problem between us and the cure is funding for research. He's pumping billions into it. He's pumping billions into feeding hungry people in third world nations. You are still there. Prosperity for me. Everything is for you. The world doesn't revolve around you, my friend. Prophecy warned Apostle Paul that they will put him in chain if he gets to Jerusalem. And brethren were crying, begging him not to go. He said, what are you talking about? Which message do you have in you? The message of don't die. The one I have is I'm ready to die. I'm not only going to Jerusalem, I'm ready to lay down my life if it need be. He went there, they finally got him arrested, put him in chain. He said, I appeal to Caesar, carry me in there. Message of salvation saves your life. Message of the kingdom tells you to lose it. That in losing it, you will find it. Message of the kingdom, he was made poor that you might become rich. Message of the salvation, message of the kingdom, lay down your riches so that others might rise. So you see them selling lands and houses, laying it down at the apostles' feet. But Jesus has already told them that whosoever will do that will not only get a hundredfold in this present time, but in the world to come, eternal life. That's why they know that in the kingdom, it is your sacrifice, your investment that gives you a placement. When I went among the campuses and I started this, God did some amazing things in reaching the court boys in those days. Then I preached restitution because I saw that some of them went into stealing and oppression and other things. They use their gun to rape, use their gun to collect people's things. Some will go actually and steal. Some were even doing dirty job for politicians like assassination and all that. When I saw that, I started preaching restitution. And so in our campus, a revolution occurred. People that were coming to Christ were returning all the things they stole. There was a particular young man that stole everything he was wearing to the point that he brought a set of pants, and the pants were female pants. I said, is that what you wear? He said, yes. Where did you get them? Went to the back of a female hostel where somebody spread her clothes, collected the 12 pants there. And he wears them. So after he has returned all the decks, CD players, even TV that he stole from people, he asked me, Pastor, this is the only thing I have left, these clothes I'm wearing, and even this one is stolen. Am I supposed to return it? I said, yes. He said, what do you mean? Am I supposed to go naked? I said, no. I said, so what will happen? I said, don't worry about what will happen. I went inside, brought a shirt and trousers and gave him, said, go to my kitchen, change, bring out this one. It's not your clothes. So he changed. After I did that, he went home and all the others. I said, we started sending news and people were coming to get their properties, especially electronics and all that. Some of the clothes that they've used, they didn't care about them anymore, like all this. But anyway, the next night, I went to the Lord. I said, there were some who will return things, but they were still all right. But there are some like this boy who returns and is everything. His room is empty now because he stole everything in it. What am I supposed to do? He said, give him clothes to wear. I said, where am I supposed to get the clothes? He said, all these clothes that are hanging here, what are they for? I said, I can't see the clothes hanging here. Oh. Welfare department has not brought any clothes here. He said, you're talking about welfare. I'm not talking about welfare. I'm talking about these ones hanging here. So I actually turned and looked. I didn't see any clothes hanging here. Yet I could see clothes. But I didn't see those ones because those ones are my clothes. So I know the Lord was not talking about my clothes at all. After all, I'm the pastor, the man of God. So I said, Lord, I can't see. Maybe, did they bring clothes here today that I didn't know? I said, Lord, are you seeing well? Look well. There's nothing here. He said, you are not looking. Look well. The clothes are here. They bring here. And now dawned on me. I said, I know you are not talking about these ones on my wardrobe here. He said, they are the ones I'm talking about. I said, Lord, what do you have on your mind here? He said, call for the boys Give them two. A shirt, a trouser, a tie, and one suit. A shirt, a trouser, a tie, and one suit. A shirt. I said, what? I said, Lord, you will kill me all. And when I finish, do you know what happened? There was no suit hanging except one that I call a mantle. A minister gave it to me. He said, hold it. It's just a jacket from here up. It doesn't have trousers or any other thing except that one. That was the only thing. That's the only one hanging there. I had given out all my suit, all my clothes, all everything. The next night I came home, I said, I'm not sure I want to preach this kind of message again. This is contrary to everything. You will get there. Don't worry. You will get there. But there is a bridge. You cross it. Once you cross it, you have crossed. Can I hear somebody say amen? Because you know what? We don't want to die. But the exact thing that the Bible demands is your death. If you're going to enter the life that the gospel promises, you must die first. But we don't want to. Oh, how we fight the cross. We don't want to see it. We don't want to die. But the exact thing the kingdom demands is personal death. Until you experience it, you can't be set free to live the kind of life that God has for you. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Talk to him. Can you lay down your life for him like he did for you? And what do we mean by that? It means willing to do anything, pay any price that will help Christ reach the dying world, reach the lost, help the young believers stabilize, help the one that is still struggling to stand. Part of that assignment, responsibility is towards the brethren. Part of it is towards the dying world. When you begin to understand the kingdom, there are many things that will live your life. And there are a new set of values that will enter. There are many that are still struggling with tithing, 10%. That's the ABCD of giving. There are kingdom men that are giving away 90%. There are kingdom men that are giving away 80%. The gospel of grace says, come and receive what Jesus had done for you. He died for you. The gospel of the kingdom says, if we die with him, we shall reign with him. It talks about partaking of the sufferings of Christ. You might not suffer persecution. Yeah, but there will be something. It might be your finances. There must be a price. If this thing does not cost you something, forget about it. Ask God to enlarge your heart and give you understanding of the kingdom. There's so much. Just like we've concentrated on grace for years, we need to concentrate on this for years before we can build balance in the understanding of the church.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900, 0805-315-3823.